Today on Piano Jazz, we remember American jazz saxophone and flute player James Moody, who passed away December 9, 2010. Moody was Marion McPartland's guest on Piano Jazz in 1997. He is best known for his hit Moody's Mood for Love, an improvisation based on I'm in the Mood for Love. And you'll hear him perform it in today's program.
I'm just thrilled to have you here on Piano Jazz.
Well, let me tell you, it's a privilege and also an honor to be here with you, and I'm really just overjoyed in being here.
Yes. Well, you know, I was listening to the new CD you made, and what a wonderful choice of tunes. There was Frank Sinatra favorites, and it was called Young at Heart. That about epitomizes you, doesn't it?
Well, people say that, but I know I feel like I'm, 20 years old, even though I'm 30.
Well, you sort of act like it, you know. It's pretty obvious. We've got a wonderful bassist here who I know is a favorite of yours, Todd Kuhlman.
Yeah, the cool man.
Cool man, who I've known maybe almost as long as I've known you, which is a long time.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's have a go at playing a tune, and you picked a great one, Body and Soul. I love that.
Okay.
Originally.
Well, first of all, I was raised in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh.
You see, and we were living in Reading, Pennsylvania. Or rather, my mother was living in Reading, Pennsylvania. She went to Savannah, Georgia to visit her in-laws. While she was there, I was born. 2 weeks later, she went back to Reading, Pennsylvania. And then, I was up until I was ready to go to kindergarten, the school, they put me in the first grade, and then they put me in a school for retarded children. And I was in this school because they didn't know that I was partially deaf, you see.
Oh, so, I didn't know this either. This is a lifelong thing. I never knew that.
No, I was born this way. So my mother, she moved to Newark, New Jersey, and she told the teacher that, you know, I couldn't hear well and to put me in the front of the class because by my name being Moody, I was always in the back of the class. M's were in the back. So the teacher put me up front. I skipped a couple of grades, and I was doing fine, and the doctor came by one day at the grammar school, looked in my ears and said, he's going to go deaf. So he said he has to go to the Bruce Street School for the Deaf in Newark, New Jersey, and that's where I graduated from, Bruce Street School for the Deaf in Newark, and then I went to Arts High School, and then East Side, and then after I graduated, I was drafted in the Air Force at 18 years old.
That's incredible, and even with you being deaf, they took you in the Air Force.
I was warm. In those days, like, if you were warm, you went because they needed everybody.
Oh, you were warm,
yeah.
Boy, that's incredible, though. Yeah. I mean, they turned people down for such weird reasons. I mean, uh-huh. They could easily have let you play your horn. When did you start playing your horn?
Well, the thing is that's where I actually learned how to play because they asked, in those days, the Air Force, they were segregated. The service was segregated. So one quarter of the base was Negro. The other three quarters was Caucasian. So they wanted to have a band for the Negroes, and they asked who had a horn. So I couldn't play it, but I said, well, I've got one. They said, send for it. So I was sent for the horn, and they formed this band, and they had the official Air Force band come over and teach us, you know, show us the music, and that's how I started playing.
That's incredible. And mm-hmm. out of such interesting beginnings is a great musician made. I mean, it's incredible. I bet you didn't know all that at that time. Did
no,
you think
I hadn't.
You wanted to be a musician?
I always wanted to be one, but I had no idea it would start like that. And my being stationed in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Dizzy Gillespie coming down with his band to play at a place on the base called the Big Top. That's where I first saw him. And then after, he knew that we were going to be discharged, like in a few more months, and he said, I'm going to disband and form another band when I get back to New York, so come and try out for the band. And that's what I did. Me and Dave Burns. And, you know,
Dave Burns. Gee, mm-hmm. I haven't heard that name for a long time. Who else was in that band?
Well, when I first joined Dizzy's band, Thelonious Monk was the piano player, Kenny Clark Klook was the drummer, Ray Brown was the bassist, Milt Jackson was
Who was the bassist?
Ray Brown.
Oh, my God.
Ray Brown with the bassist.
Ray Brown is the most ubiquitous bass player
in the world. And Milt Jackson was the vibraphone player. And as a matter of fact, that's when I went on the tour. We went on a tour, Ella Fitzgerald and the Dizzy Gillespie Band. We toured all down south, and that's where we saw a lot of things.
You saw a lot of things. Boy, I'll bet you did. This was in the 40s, right?
Yeah.
Well, before we go any further, I'd love to go back to what I was talking about earlier, this wonderful new CD that you have out. And it would be really nice if we could do a tune, one of those Frank Sinatra tunes.
Yeah.
What could we do?
Well, being that I'm very, very much in love and I've got a fantastic marriage, I love that composition called Love and Marriage.
I can see why you would pick that. And then an extra plus is having this great bass player with us.
Oh, yeah,
Todd Coolman.
Yeah, the cool man, boy.
Cool man, he's your man.
Yep, anywhere I go, when I can, it's him. In Paris, and I was down at the Club Saint-Germain, and I was down there jamming, and Anders Berman, the guy from Metronome Records, but he was also a drummer, he happened to be in the club that night, and he wanted to play with us. He played, and then after he was finished, he asked me, he said, would you like to come to Stockholm and make some records? I said, sure, you know, make 12 sides. I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So anyway, he said, I'll send you a plane ticket. I said, I don't fly, so he sent me a boat ticket. You know, I mean, a train. I took the train and then went over on the ferry, you know. So, and it was funny because I did the record, but then we had one more tune we had to do. And the guy said, well, what would you like to do? I said, how about I'm in the Mood for Love? So, and this is the truth. So the guy went into the John, sketched out the chords for I'm in the Mood for Love. And while he's doing this, Lars Gullin, a fantastic Swedish baritone saxophonist.
Yes, I know that name.
He had a beat-up silver alto ran by his case. So I said, Lars, you mind if I look at that? He said, no, go right ahead. So I picked the horn up and played on it for me. So when he came back out with the music, we did it in one take. One take, bang. And we did that, and that was it. And then about a couple months later, I was down at the Club Saint-Germain, and I'm playing. And a woman said, would you play I'm in the Mood for Love? I said, sure. So I said, da-dee-dee-dee-dee-da-dee-dee. When I got finished, she said, no, that wasn't it. She said, you did it different. I said, what do you mean I did it different? I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, well, you went down when you should have gone up, and you went up when you should have gone down. I didn't know what she was talking about. It had become a hit in America, but I didn't know.
Oh, and they wanted to hear it exactly.
They wanted
it
to hear it exactly the way, you know, the way I played it. So, like, I wasn't going to come back to the States, you know, and they said, "Well, you got a hit, come back." I says, "I'm never going back," you know. And finally, Bab Gonzalez came over and convinced me to come back to America. He says, "Man, go back and make that bread," you know.
So anyway, hear him now.
Yeah, when I came back, I formed a septet. And I was shocked. We would go to places, and the places would be jammed, just crowded with people. We went to Detroit one night. There was 9 feet of snow, and we were like 2.5, 3 hours late. When we got there, the place was jammed with people.
Well, was this before Eddie Jefferson did the lyric, or had the lyric been done?
Well, Eddie Jefferson is the one that wrote the lyric.
Yeah.
And what happened was the instrumental was a hit first.
Yeah.
And then King Pleasure sang the vocal version, and that became a hit. So everywhere we went, I had to play both of them. I had to play it first, and then Bab would sing it.
Well, I'm dying to hear you do your version. Are you going to play it and sing it?
I mean, I can do both if you want. But
I would love to hear both. I would really love that.
Okay. All right. There I go. Pretty baby, you are the soul that snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you need me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. There's music all around me. Crazy music, music that keeps calling.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.